With Laura Fox
podcast.
I know it's the weekend of Taylor Swift hysteria here in 2FM. We're not in 2FM, in Ireland in general, but we are of course feeling it here in 2FM. But as well as Taylor Swift, the biggest music festival in the whole world is happening a couple of hundred miles away, and of course we are talking about Glastonbury 2024. Now, just because you're not there, it doesn't mean that you still can't get in on some of the action on your telly box. And here to give us a steer on what to watch out for across the 3 days is our very own festival fanatic, Dan Hegarty. Hello, Dan.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are you? Thank you for joining me.
Yeah, good. No, it's nice to be in. Nice to be talking at this hour of the morning as well. Usually it's like, what?
Yeah. Did you have to do a few like vocal warm-ups now this morning?
This is my vocal warm-up. Yeah. So if I sound a bit rusty, that's probably why.
No, I have to say, so far so good. So listen, Dan, we're going to talk about Glastonbury. I have never been. Every single year I say to myself, I'm going to apply for tickets this year. And then it comes around and I forget about it and I miss my opportunity. So I've never been lucky enough to go. I'm guessing, given your reputation in the music world, you've been there.
I've only been there once in 2011. So, and I mean, there, like yourself, it's always like, oh yeah, this year I'll go for tickets. Or yeah, I want to go and see this band, that band. I want to see that, or want to meet up with those people. And it just doesn't happen for whatever reason. And I think there's a number of reasons for that. There's loads of festivals that happen here. Yeah. Really, really good ones, big and small ones. So, yeah, it's just life kind of gets in the way of music sometimes, isn't it?
Unfortunately, it does. Unfortunately, we can't go to everything because it would cost us a fortune and we'd have no money left. But before we get into who's where and all that sort of stuff, can you give us a quick rundown on Glastonbury, how it all began and how it kind of got to where it is today?
Yeah, well, you're talking 1970 when the first Glastonbury Festival as such started, but it was known as the Pilton Pop Blues and Folk Festival. Now, to give you an idea of the size of this, there was 1,500 people there. Tickets were £1.
Wow.
And that included free milk from the farm.
Okay.
So to compare it to the festival of today, let's use toilets as an example. I know you're probably scratching your head going, what? There were 25 toilets back in 1970. Now there are just under 5,000. So that gives you a bit of perspective.
Wow.
To a certain extent.
That is a lot of dirty port-a-loos by the time Sunday comes around. That's all I'm thinking. I'm like, ugh, the toilets are disgusting.
Yeah, so there's like, essentially there's over 200,000 people go to Glastonbury now, these days, to 1,500, which is just, if you're asking me to fill in the blanks from there to here, there's so many blanks to fill in. It's just, it's another thing. It's just grown and grown and grown over the years. And it has literally become iconic, legendary and all that. Those words are often overused, but they fit perfectly here.
It's a beast, I suppose you'd say, in the music world and for music festivals. But what do you think makes it stand out? Because there's so many music festivals that happen across the globe every single year. But what is it about Glastonbury that makes it stand out so much?
Well, I think one of the things is it manages to draw people that you wouldn't necessarily call festival artists. Those iconic names like Dolly Parton, The Stones, U2, Shirley Bassey, you know, Paul McCartney. You remember Paul McCartney said a couple of years ago, it was incredible. It brings those people in that you wouldn't necessarily associate, would ever even think about playing a festival because they don't really need to. So that's part of it. But I think as well, it's a word of mouth thing. It grows and grows and grows over the year. It starts with, oh, I was there last year. Have you been yet? And it just kind of spirals from that. But I think one of the other things as well is with the dawn of the internet, as we used to call it, all of those little bits of footage that you can see on YouTube or whatever, they all kind of build to its mystique as well. You look at something from 2003, whatever year, you look at these iconic performances and that all builds in the kind of the overall mystique to the festival.
And I think the power of Glastonbury as well is, I remember when Eliza Rose, Baddest of Them All came out, and it was kind of an underground song that was just being played in clubs and nobody really knew it. And then a DJ played it at Glastonbury and all of a sudden it just exploded and it was on every single radio station. So I think there's huge power in it. But obviously a festival is all about the music, but when you go to Electric Picnic and the likes, there's things there for everyone, you know, whether it's podcasts, there's comedy shows. Yeah. Is there other stuff going on at Glastonbury for people who might not be music fans as such?
Yeah, absolutely. Every festival really, like big or small, has other stuff other than music. Because they're not, these people who organise these festivals, they're not fools. They realise that okay, loads of people will be going along to see the music, but there'll be an equal number to a lot of them going along to just meet up and see other things. So
just
you're right,
the
comedy. There's art installations. There's like Glastonbury is such, the site is so big. When I was there in 2011, we only got to parts of it. We went to these, I don't even know how you describe them, art installations of things that were built out of buses, out of aircrafts, and you're kind of walking around scratching your head. I'm not even sure what this is. Is there going to be a DJ here later on, or is it just something that I walk around and look at?
Yeah, for optics.
So, and then there's the other thing about, you know, people go along to see who's there, what famous people are there, what are they wearing? Oh, where they get those sunglasses, where they got those wellies. That's all part of it too.
That's what I wanted to ask actually, because I know every year with Coachella, like I'll be straight on to Twitter or X as it now is, Instagram, all that sort of stuff, just to see who's there and what they're wearing. Do you think it's the same vibe with Glastonbury?
I think so, yeah. Like, again, I mean, I know people who've been over there and they say, oh, I saw whoever it might be. I saw Kate Moss there. I saw whoever else. And they look great. And people want to hear about those things. That's as much of pop culture as music is these days. I know some people are going, no, it's not. But it kind of is.
Yeah.
And I think Glastonbury is very much like the musical equivalent of Wimbledon. People know it's on. They might not see anything or hear anything that happens at it, but they just know it's on and they know some of the names that will be there.
Yeah.
And that's enough.
I love that you've just compared it to Wimbledon. I don't think I've ever heard anyone compare a music festival to a tennis tournament.
Well, look, same country, roughly the same type of year, you know. You got to compare it to something, I suppose. But it gives it a little bit of context, I guess.
We're going to go with it. So, you know, the lineup for Glastonbury, as you said, it draws in these iconic acts. So tell us who's playing and who you think is going to be worth checking out on the international front.
Yeah, I mean, the headliners. You know, whether you're a fan of any of these big headline acts or not, I think you've got to go and see them. Like Dua Lipa, absolutely. Coldplay, SZA. They're the big names. And then you've got other big names that are kind of have a nostalgic tag to them as well, like Shania Twain, PJ Harvey, Janelle Monáe as well. They're all, you know, you're not going to be let down by going to see those names.
I actually have some clips here, so we'll just play a little bit of Dua Lipa, as you mentioned her there. Like, I saw Dua Lipa a few years ago at Electric Picnic and she blew my mind. The performance she put on is incredible, and she's one of those artists, like, even if you don't think you're a fan, you're going to go and you're going to know her songs just from hearing them everywhere.
I saw her very early on, I think around the time that she released her debut single, kind of by accident. I kind of stumbled across a performance at a festival, and I was there going, who is this? She is incredible.
Yeah.
She just had the presence, had the voice, had the songs. And I went, wow, like, this is a no-brainer. She's going to do well. And normally I get that completely wrong.
Yeah.
Most of the bands I like don't do all that well. I shouldn't say that, actually. Some of them might be listening.
Right, but what about on the Irish front? I always love to hear of Irish acts playing at international festivals. So who have we got this year?
Yeah, I mean, you've got a strong lineup. You've got Fontaines DC, you got New Dad, Mary Wallopers, Two Door Cinema Club, Lancome, Kneecap, Pillow Queens, Sprints, Kingfisher, and many others. So, I mean, you could in theory just go around Glastonbury and just watch the Irish acts and be hugely entertained. Like Fontaines played there in 2022. Green famously wore the Pogues Rum, Sodomy and the Lash t-shirt as well, which, you know, helped introduce that band to a whole new generation of fans. So any of those, you're not going to be let down at all. I mean, the lineup is vast. It is absolutely vast. You're never going to get to see everything. And also the size of the site.
Yeah, it's huge, isn't it?
Yeah, you could be like saying, oh, you look at the map and you go, oh yeah, I'll be over there in 5 minutes. 45 minutes later, you might be still walking.
That's what somebody was actually saying to me. Like, it can actually take you hours to walk from one part of the festival to the other part of the festival. So you're getting your steps in when you're there as well. I want to know, for you, who is the ultimate act to see there? If Dan Hegarty was there, which three headliners would you choose?
Well, they're not the headliners. I mean, I'd go and see English Teacher, who played here recently, and they were fantastic. Their debut album, This Could Be Texas, is phenomenal. Little Sims, just one of the best artists I've come across in years. And Confidence Man have been talking about a set that they've put together for tonight, which is going to be special. So I think those three are great.
And for anyone who's not lucky enough to go along to Glastonbury, Confidence Man are also going to be playing All Together Now as well. So you might get to catch them there.
Sure, yeah. Can I just say Sprints as well? I forgot to put them on my Irish list. They're fantastic as well.
Former 2FM Rising. Dan Hegarty, thank you so much for coming in. There's a lot going on. There's Taylor Swift. We've got the Euros, Glastonbury all going on at the same time. And of course, it's going to be one hell of a weekend. Dan Hegarty, thank you. 2FM with Laura Fox. Podcast.